This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, notice what it says, first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then, folks, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, this is what it says. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, because I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. And this is what he said. Oh God, would you bless me indeed? That indeed means 5 exclamation points. What it means, would you bless me indeed? It literally means, God, would you bless my socks off? Would you bless me indeed? And enlarge my coast, that thy hand may be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That's a message right there, folks. When we don't do what we ought to do, it's going to grieve us. I'll promise you, it will grieve you. It will grieve you. God didn't give you the Bible because he's trying to do something to you. God gave you the Bible because he's trying to do something for you. For you. And look, and God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. And God, I praise you. And I pray today that you would speak to us and through us. And God, I pray for the man, woman, boy, or girl that's here who doesn't know you as personal Savior, that today they would come to know you. And I pray this prayer in the name above every name. That's the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez. When I receive a book, when somebody gets me a book, I'll write in the book the person who gave me the book. And not only will I write in the book the person who gave me the book, but I'll write the date that I received the book. On September the 15th of the year 2000, Barbara gave me a book. She gave me a book. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. I got the book, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a small book, The Prayer of Jabez, literally, not even 100 pages. I mean, just a small little book, 92 pages. And I read the book, and the book had a profound impact on me. I literally started praying the prayer. I prayed the prayer every day. I've been praying the prayer all these years. But I read the little book and it impacted me so much. I said, I want to meet the man. I was relatively a young man, but I said, I want to meet the man who wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez. And I went to a certain location and I met Bruce Wilkinson. As you can see, all for dark hair once again. But anyway, I met Bruce Wilkinson. And I said to Bruce Wilkinson, I want you to know, your book has had a profound impact on my life. Even this Friday, I was talking to Bruce, who's had a stroke. And I said, I just want you to know that your book had a profound impact on my prayer life. See, folks, if you read 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the first 9 chapters are just basically genealogies. It's this one begat that one. And this one begat that one. I mean, literally 600 names are mentioned. If you couldn't sleep, get up, read it. Amen? Get up and read it. But right in the middle of the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles is chapter 4. And it speaks of a man by the name of Jabez. And it says some things about this man, Jabez. Bruce Wilkinson literally made Jabez famous. it says some things about him. There's four things I want you to see right quickly. First of all, I want you to see this. Things started out bad for him. Things started out bad for Jabez. You say, Pastor Benny, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says in verse 9 that he was given the name of Jabez. And Jabez literally means pain. Pain. So when he walked up, ladies and gentlemen, people said, there's pain. There's pain. That was the name he was given. I mean, from birth, his name was Pain. Jabez means pain. I don't know if it was a breech birth. I don't know what happened. But literally, his mother said, we're going to name him Pain. It kind of reminds me of the guy that lost his dog, and he put out a sign. Lost dog, three legs, blind in one eye, missing right ear, tail broken, recently castrated, answers to the name of Lucky. I don't know if Lucky fits, amen? But needless to say, his name was Jabez. I mean, that was the label he was given. And you know, folks, maybe you've been given a label. Divorcee. Abuser. Adulterer. Fornicator. Liar. Fired. Bankrupt. Obese. Maybe you've been given a label. Sad to say, a lot of people have been given a label. And he was given a label. You said, Pastor, what do you do? What do you do when somebody's giving you a label? What do you do when somebody gives you a label? How can you overcome it? I'll tell you what Jabez did. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed first. I want to say to you, things started out real bad for him. I mean, he was given the name Jabez, and perhaps they started out bad for you. But there's a second thing I want you to see. Your past does not have to define you. Your past does not have to define you. See, verse 9 says this. He was more honorable than his brethren. You know what that tells me, folks? He may have not been from the best family. He may have not been from the best family. I want to ask you something. Have you ever met somebody that was born on third base and lived their life acting like they hit a triple? See, you don't judge a person's success by what they accomplish in life. You judge a person's success by the obstacles they overcome to accomplish whatever they accomplish. See, he may have not been from the best family. But you know, I don't know this. He was named Payne. His family apparently didn't believe in him. But you know, if he studied his genealogy, he knew something. He said, that's okay. I'm not maybe from the best family. But there's somebody in my lineage, according to 1 Chronicles 3 and 1, and his family didn't believe in him also. His name was David. Because when Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, literally, ladies and gentlemen, Jesse brought seven sons out there. He brought all the sons except David. And Samuel said, is this all of them? And he said, there's one more, but he's just a runt. All he does is keep the sheep. And Samuel said, no, bring him. See, when his family saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. When his family saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. I just want to give you a quote by William Carey. William Carey said this. He said, your future, my future, is as bright as the promises of God. Your future, my future, is as bright as the promises of God. I want you to know something. His beginning started out bad. I want you to know something else. Your past doesn't have to define you. I want you to know something else. He prayed 33 words. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, he prayed 33 words. See, the Bible says this. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean, Pastor, when it's talking about pray without ceasing? This is what it means. This is the language. It's a it's a hacking cough. Ceasing, literally, the language there is a hacking cough. Don't nobody get scared. I don't have COVID. It's and listen, he prayed 33 words. D.L. Moody said, I never prayed long prayers, but I never went long without prayer. I never prayed long prayers, but I never went long without prayer. There's a fourth thing I want you to see, and it's this. He got results. Verse 10 says this. Verse 10 says, God granted him that which he requested. God granted him that which he requested. Now, I want us to see four things about the prayer of Jabez, a prayer that I've been praying for decades. God, would you bless me indeed? God, would you enlarge my coast? God, would you keep your good hand upon me? And God, would you keep me from evil? It's a prayer that I've been praying for decades. And I want you to see four things about it. The first thing I want you to see is this. His prayer was personal. His prayer was personal. Now look what he said. God, would you bless me? I want you to know something, folks. He was not a hero of the faith. He was not in Hebrews chapter 11, but God heard his prayer. And he said, God, will you bless me? Here's all I want to say. God wants to bless you. Look here, God's not some angry God sitting up in the heavens looking for you to mess up so he can enact punishment upon you. God's not some angry God that's wanting you to mess up. God is a loving, long-suffering, heavenly, good Father. I started researching blessing. Apparently, God wants to bless us because the word blessing is 330 times in the Old Testament. What's blessing mean? It means the supernatural favor of God. That God wants to bless us. And I started studying about the blessing of God. And I found out the first time in the Bible that blessing is mentioned is Genesis 1, verses 21 and 22. You know the first thing that God blessed? Get this, folks. The first thing that God blessed was the creatures of the sea. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean, folks. God blessed the shrimp. God blessed the flounder. I didn't say that. God's word says that. God said he blessed the shrimp. God said he blessed the flounder. And God said he blessed the grouper. Amen? That's what the Bible says. God blessed the shrimp. And God blessed the flounder. And God blessed the grouper. And once a year, when I go to Captain Anderson's, they bless me, amen? You get this, folks. God created man and woman. God created the world, the rocks, the reels, the hoes, the hills, the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees. God created man and woman. And the first thing he did was bless them. You read Genesis 1, 27 and 28. The first thing God did after God created Adam and Eve, God blessed them. How did Jesus begin his ministry? With 9 Beatitudes. How did Jesus begin his ministry? With 9 blessings. Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven. But before I go to heaven, there's one thing, one last thing I want to do for my disciples. It's in Luke chapter 24. He said, before I go to heaven, I want to bless my disciples. You say, well, wait, Pastor, I get it now. So God does want to bless me. God wants to bless me with testimony. God wants to bless me with talent. God wants to bless me with treasure. God wants to bless me with personality. God wants to bless me with a network. God wants to bless me with relationships. Pastor, why does God want to bless me? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Because Genesis 12 and 2 says, I want to bless you so you can be a blessing. I want to bless you. See, folks, when God, look, get this close. When God blesses us, he always has more than us in mind. When God blesses us, he always has more than us in mind. And God simply wants to bless you because he wants you to be a blessing. You said, Pastor, God's blessing me to raise my standard of living. Look. I'm more convinced God's not interested in raising your standard of living. He's interested in raising your standard of giving. He's interested in raising your standard of giving, because if he raises your standard of giving, ladies and gentlemen, you can be a blessing to other people. Now get this. I want to give you a quote and I'm moving to the next point. But I promise you, folks, I promise you. Look here. Get this. I'm not re-preaching last week's message. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. God's kingdom and God's will in your life is before our daily bread. But many times we get caught up on our daily needs instead of being kingdom people. Instead of living for kingdom purposes, instead of realizing I'm here, it's not about me. I'm here, it's about God's kingdom. And God's placed me here for kingdom work. And God's placed me here for kingdom purposes. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God's kingdom. And when you understand your life is not about you, your life is about Christ, and your life is about making an impact in God's kingdom. I want to give you a quote that's worth the price of admission. This is the quote. We shouldn't fear failure, but we ought to fear succeeding at things in life that don't matter. We shouldn't fear failure, but ladies and gentlemen, we ought to fear succeeding at things in life that really don't matter. And some of you spent your life trying to climb the wall. And one day you're going to realize my ladder was against the wrong wall. I spent my life trying to succeed at things that really did not matter. You get this, folks. His prayer was personal, but I want to move quickly. Not only was his prayer personal, but his prayer was professional. Now look what he said. Oh God, would you bless me indeed and enlarge my coast? What was he saying? God, would you expand my influence? See, when I got this little book almost 23 years ago, and I started, God, would you bless me indeed? Would you enlarge my coast? We didn't have medical clinics at that time. I just prayed that God would enlarge our coast. When I got this little book and I said, God, would you enlarge our coast? We didn't have Impact Christian Ministries where we were feeding and clothing and helping destitute people 7 days a week. When I got this little book, I didn't know about the Potter's House that transforms the lives of women. We weren't a part of that ministry. When I got this little book, we didn't have J-Bach Ministry that provides free counseling to hundreds and thousands of people every year. When I got this little book, we didn't have multiple campuses. When I got this little book and I started praying this prayer, we weren't in this building. When I got this little book and started praying this prayer, we didn't have an online audience. We weren't online. We knew nothing about that. But I just started saying, God, would you bless us indeed? Would you enlarge your coast? And I want to go on record and say he has blessed indeed, and he has enlarged the coast. He has enlarged the coast. Not me, not us, but he has. You know, when I'm traveling, many times I'll be out and want to get something to eat, and I'll go buy a Chick-fil-A. And they'll be wrapped around the building. But I'll say to whoever's with me, I'll say, just pull in. I know they're wrapped around the building, but it won't be long. Amen? Hey, listen, I know, look here. I know it won't be long. Just get in the line. We're going to eat right here. It won't be long because, listen, folks, I hate to wait. I get impatient making instant coffee. I hate to wait. I mean, I want the microwave to speed up. Amen? I mean, I'm going to love the rapture. Zoom, and we're gone. Amen? So I hate to wait. You think, man, Pastor Benny, that's wonderful. But did you realize, folks, it hadn't always been that way? Do you realize that Chick-fil-A almost didn't make it? Do you realize that Mr. Truett Cathy met with the leaders in 1982 and said, we got to close stores. We've got to freeze spending. We got to freeze salaries. We've got to stop hiring. I don't even know. You said, Pastor Benny, what happened? I'll tell you what. The construction of shopping malls ceased, and most of their revenue was from shopping mall business. And Mr. Truett said, let me tell you something. We don't even know why we exist. It's not about making a sandwich. It's not about waffle fries. And by the way, I don't know if you know it, their number one item that they sell is not even the Chick-fil-A sandwich. It's the waffle fries. My philosophy is if you'll fry it, I'll try it. But anyway, it's the waffle fries. Brother said, preach. But he said, we got to determine why we exist. He said, we need a reason for existence. We need a corporate purpose. And he said, we're going to establish it in this hotel. And here's our corporate purpose: to glorify God by being faithful stewards of all that is entrusted to us, and to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with Chick-fil-A. And they said, when we established our purpose is to glorify God, God expanded our influence. God expanded our influence. Oh, thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Business people, come up real close. If you're not in business, it's okay. Just stick with me. This is only going to take 2 or 3 minutes. But business people, listen very closely to what I'm going to teach you right now. I'm going to teach you a principle that will revolutionize your business if you will follow it. It's in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. What is the lake of Gennesaret, Pastor Benny? It's the Sea of Galilee. It's just a small body of water. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, for they were washing their nets. Now, what had transpired? Here's what had transpired. They'd been on the Sea of Galilee. They'd been fishing. It was their business. It was how they provided for their families. But literally, friends, they had caught nothing. They were washing their nets. They were done. Now, look what happened. And he entered into one of the ships. Makes a difference when Jesus gets in your ship. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. That was Simon Peter's. You know Simon. Always putting his foot in his mouth. And he prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now look here. He's in Simon's ship. It's all about business. That was what he did for his livelihood. Get real. He was a professional fisherman. That's what he did. He said, Simon, thrust out from the land. See, what Simon probably didn't know, when he got in that boat, he said, thrust out from the land, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to use the water for amplification. I want you to thrust out from the land, but look, I'm going to use the water for application. And look what it says. And he sat down, and he taught the people. out of the ship. His business. When Simon realized that my business ultimately is about his business. Oh, I'm preaching better than that. Look here, look here. When Simon realized that my business is really about his business. And sir, I'm not talking about you have to wear a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian. I believe in telling everybody about Jesus, and whenever necessary, use words. I don't believe you have to do all that. If you want to do it, it's wonderful, fine. I'm not, but I'm just telling you folks, when you follow Christian principles, and you guide your business by the word of God, and you say, I want my business to influence, I want my business to impact, I want my business to prosper, because I want to bless, I want to use my business to bless. When I realize that my business is not about my business, but it's about God's business, oh folks, when you realize your business is not about your business, listen to me, ma'am, your business is not about your business is about God's business, and when you make your business about God's business, it's amazing what God will do in the business. Because verse 6 says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. When they realized their business was about God's business, God blessed their business. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Wait. Keep your good hand upon me. You know what he understood? I'm trying to get done. He understood that if God blesses me indeed and God enlarges my influence, I'm going to need his good hand. See, his prayer was for God's presence. His prayer was for God's presence. In Job chapter 1, it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Folks, wouldn't it be a compliment if God looked down and said, by the way, Satan, you're up here accusing. You're the accuser of the brethren. You're up here accusing people all the time. Have you considered Benny Tate? Fill your name in. What if God said, have you considered her? She's so godly. She loves me so much. Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him, for he's blameless, an upright man, a man who fears the Lord and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have not you put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that the flock and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has. Wait. Stay there. The blessing, ladies and gentlemen, was God's hand. The blessing on Job was God's hand. See, the Bible teaches us to fear the Lord. We don't have to fear the Lord that he's going to put his hand upon us in retribution. We don't have to fear the Lord that he's got to put his hand up on us in punishment. We do and should fear the Lord that God would ever take his hand off us. That God would ever take his hand off our lives. That God would ever take his hand off our families. That God would ever take his hand off our ministries. If God would ever take his hand off our church. Or if God would ever take his hand off my business. I'm destined to fail if God removes his good hand. So God, I need your presence more than anything. God bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Keep your good hand upon me. Look, one lastly. And keep me from evil. His prayer was for protection. He said, God, if you bless me indeed, you enlarge my coast. Keep your good hand upon me, because the enemy's coming after me. Folks, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, We have an enemy. And all I want to say, Tozer said,
A spirit-filled church is a target for the devil. A spirit-filled church is a target for the devil. A spirit-filled individual is a target for the devil. The enemy wants to destroy. He wants to destroy you, sir. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your influence. He wants to destroy your relationships. David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible only says that about one man. A man after God's own heart. It was David. Look what David said. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But David said, this is what I've come to realize. When the devil comes at me, David said, I've come to realize, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Jesus taught us this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because the evil one, get this, folks, I'm almost done. The evil one wants to destroy you. Because if he can destroy you, if he can destroy me, it disgraces the Father. If he can destroy me and you, it discourages the saint. If he can destroy me and you, it drives away the lost. If he can destroy us, it delights the devil. Now I'm done. But early this morning, I was thinking about this message. And I was thinking about this scripture, and I'm done with this. In Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But get this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 says this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Get this, folks. The Bible says he shall be like a tree planted. Now, that word planted is usually the word nata. Nata. Normally in the Old Testament, when you see the word planted, it's the Hebrew word nata. But you know what's amazing? Here, the writer didn't use the word nata. He used the Hebrew word shalba. Not nata, but shalba. Nata means to be planted. Shalba means to be transplanted. Let me explain. The tree's here. It's dead. It's lifeless. It's not producing any fruit. No blooms. It's dead. It's destitute. There's no hope for the tree. It's dying by the day. It's dead. But somebody sees the tree. That old tree that's destined to die. Somebody gets a love for the tree. Somebody gets some concern for the tree. Somebody has some compassion for, well, there's no hope for that tree. There's no future for that tree. That tree is destined to die. It's destined to die. But the Bible says something happened. Somebody came and they started digging out the roots. And they started caring for the tree. They got that tree up, and it looked like it was going to die, but I'm from the nursery stock capital of the world, Mackinac, Tennessee. They put a ball around that tree. They balled up the roots. They cared for that tree. They lifted the, oh, hopefully you're not hearing what I'm saying. Listen, folks. They lifted that tree up, and they brought that tree over by the river of water, and they put that tree by the river of water, and they planted that tree because they knew if they could get that tree by the river of water, it could get nourishment, it could get refreshing, it could get life. There would be hope for that tree, and that tree would soon blossom, and that tree would start producing fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, you were the tree. I was the tree. That's what God did for us. He transplanted us. But what's my responsibility, Pastor? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Oh, I wish I could sing. I'd sing that old song, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. I've got shoes on my feet. I've got plenty to eat. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I am blessed. And you are blessed too. I started thinking about this, and I'm done. I'm sorry for preaching so long. I'm sorry. I told Barbara, so when I get old, I don't want to be a long-winded preacher. I'm afraid it's happened. Listen. Look here, folks. I'm thinking about those groceries that we're going to put in the trailer. This is your pastor. Look, folks, you said, Brother Benny don't understand. Oh, I understand. Look here, folks. I understand not having money to buy shoes. I worked in a machine shop and didn't have money to buy shoes, and I'd take duct tape, and I'd wrap it around my feet, and I'd walk in the machine shop. Because I didn't have money to buy shoes. I know what it is to have nothing. I know what it is to go to Smithville Road to Dolores Glenn's Market and say, Dolores, I need to get some groceries. And I'd get groceries on credit and go back the next week and say, Miss Dolores, I don't have the money to pay you. She'd say, I know you don't. Just get what you need. When you get on your feet, you'll be able to pay me. That's why I'm going to Laurel, Mississippi next week and meeting Convoy of Hope and just giving out food for people. Because I know what it is to not have food. And when I think about, folks, how God has blessed me indeed, how God has enlarged my coast, how God has kept his good hand upon me, how God has preserved me so many times, folks, it makes me want to just stand to my feet. Can we just stand our feet and just praise him for all he's done? Can we just praise the Lord? Can we just praise the Lord for all he's done for you? We just praise the Lord. Look. You think you're not blessed? If you had to decide this morning, if you had to decide this morning what you were going to wear, you're blessed. If you had to decide this morning what you were going to wear, you're blessed. We are blessed. God's been incredibly good to us, folks. And listen, it was a great day. I'm done, but it's a great day when I realized God's been good to me, not because I'm good. God's been good to me because He's good. God's been good to me because He's good.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.